Now, don't go away, because next on CBS Radio's Comedy Time are those two zany characters of many characters, Bob and Ray.
And now, from coast to coast, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding are pleased to present the CBS Radio Network. I don't know what possibly could have happened at the picnic, but all we've had all day were these long glances and rather a surly approach. Don't you think?
You know it. After all the trouble that was gone to in setting up the park and the refreshments and the entertainment.
And I don't think we made more than $15 or $20 on the whole affair. I mean,
well, we have to pay that out for the ball game. That was the prize to the winning team.
Well, also for the limousine we rented.
We barely made expenses when you think of it.
That's right. Yeah. They got back, incidentally, for those of you who have been concerned, it did rain, you know, and the bus driver did lose the keys and all, but they were all back here by Saturday afternoon. Some of them spent the night at
home. Were they all here?
There's
one missing.
C. Wilson Messi Jr., who was umpiring behind the plate during the ball game.
He was down in the soggy part of the ball field there.
We hope everything will be all right.
If he's listening, maybe he'll call in and tell us. And then we've had a lot of wires and phone calls over the weekend asking for the condition of the great Bob and Ray Bird. And we're very happy to state that Dr. Fred B. Stoll, who treated him last Thursday, I guess, seems to have performed pretty well with the bird.
Luckily, he worked on him last Thursday before he was hit, as I understand, by a pitch ball.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything.
I could have sworn I heard that. I was looking right at the bird.
Now, audience, you're not supposed to speak out that way. We're broadcasting, you know. Did anyone speak out?
Hello, sweetheart.
Hello, sweetheart.
Is anyone in the audience talking to us?
Please, now, you shouldn't do that. I mean, that breaks all sorts of regulations.
Wait. You hear bagpipes?
No.
Okay. Well, I don't know. We better have,
My name is Peter.
I don't understand that.
I never heard of an auk that talked. That's, Dr. Stoll called it an auk last week.
You mean that's the bird?
Yeah, that's what he said.
The bird is talking?
Mm, that's what it looks like. That's what I mean.
Well, let's bring a microphone over close to the cage and see. Hey, fella, you're feeling better, eh? Speak up now. Speak up for all the folks.
If I know him, he won't say a word now that we...
Come on, fella. Say hello. Say something.
Just prove that we're not sitting here hearing things, will you?
Come on, fella. Come on, boy.
Come on, the bird. The big bird.
Come on. Well, it's not. He won't say a word.
Yeah.
Oh, we could pick him up a little closer there.
We'll have him back on the desk here before long. Then the other problem that we wanted to take up today was the disappearance of Smelly Dave, our great dead whale that we've been sending around the country to various cities and towns. And I don't think there's any more word on that, do you?
No, he disappeared in Albany. And he was, excuse me, today he was due down in Charlotte, North Carolina, down to help Virgil V. Evans, Jr., or Buddy Evans, as he's affectionately known.
WBT, huh?
Here at Bob and Ray headquarters.
Is Arthur Schrank down there with him?
Arthur has gone along with the flat car. It doesn't contain anything anymore. And
is he on? He's on the phone.
Who is it?
Arthur Schrank. Let me see if we can get any late news from Charlotte. Hello? Hello, Arthur?
Hello. Hi, Bob and Ray.
Bob and Ray here. I guess we're not going to have any broadcast from you today.
No, it wouldn't be much sense. The folks here at WBT are a little disappointed.
You think so?
They had a big promotional thing going for Smelly Dave, and I've been put through the ringer by Buddy Evans, Jr.
Well,
he more or less blamed me personally. I didn't steal the...
Well, I know you didn't. I'm sure he understands that, but it is rather a reflection on him as handling the whole thing, you know, having all the arrangements.
Well, Bob and Ray, don't you yourselves feel any responsibility?
Yes, we do.
You're taking Buddy Evans's part. What about my part?
Well, as soon as we know anything, Arthur, we'll let you know. I tell you, we have engaged a detective to try and track down Dave, and he's here with us in the studio. And if we get any suggestions from him about what you could do to help or what Buddy Evans could do down there in Charlotte?
Wait a second. Buddy Evans wants to talk to you fellows.
Bob and Ryan.
Yes, Mr. Evans. This is...
I can't tell you how upset and disappointed we are.
Yes, sir.
At not being able to welcome Dale.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're awfully sorry, too, but as you understand, you could not blame us.
We've done whole hog for the whale, Bob and Ray. Had a party set up, a press party.
How are things down in Charlotte,
and
sir?
And warm. It's warm.
Mm-hmm.
We had the newspapers all lined up. Full-page ads, of course. And we're rather embarrassed.
I don't know how to stop him. He's just talking a lot.
I don't know what we can do to placate him.
Gee, thanks a lot, Mr. Evans. It's been a real pleasure
Moving
talking with
Clarity,
you.
Moving please. I'd like to have you people meet the gentleman who we'll be talking with from time to time when he checks in with us. It's a Sylvester L. Gumshoe Flaherty of the... what is it? Is it
Flaherty, Flaherty Detective Agency.
Yes. Now, you understand that we are looking for this lost whale, Mr. Flaherty, and if there's anything we can do to help any of our staff, we'll all be only too glad to.
Just so long as you understand, Buddy, you're the retaining fee.
Yes, well, that's been taken care of, I think, by our accounting department. Now, do you have any ideas about finding the lost whale?
Where was the last...
his last seen, he disappeared in Albany last Thursday.
How big is he?
He's the normal whale size. He's, I think, about 30-odd feet long.
Mm-hmm. How many tons?
Weighs about as much as 18 elephants.
Uh-huh. What's that, maybe 18 ton?
Well, at least that, I would say.
Yeah.
It's not a...
You know anything about the shrank actor that's traveling?
Yes, he's on our staff. He's the special events man covering the tour.
Do you know anything about this Perkins bird, Albany?
George Perkins in Albany? He's a fine man. We've known him for some time.
Wouldn't steal a whale, huh?
Wouldn't steal a whale? No, of course not.
Well, I'm going to go up to Albany now. It's my first stop. Let me have your number here. What is it? Plaza 1, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Okay. And I'll call you in every time, maybe once or twice a day as I get a lead.
Well, don't call too often. I mean, there's no sense making a call at our expense.
Call off the thing.
He wants you to track him down, but I mean, let's not over...
This isn't going to...
Let's not make a good thing out of it. Let's put it that way, all right?
Well, I just soon drop it because tracking down dead whales isn't exactly going to put a star in my door, you know?
Well, I'll tell you this. You'll get plenty of publicity if you can find Dave.
Right. Okay, then.
You can stay here and see the rest of the show if you'd like, Mr. Flaherty. Just sit down. Huh?
See you later.
No, huh?
Bye.
Well, we'll be looking for a report from him, and we'll check on Dave in the days to come. I think we ought to have a dramatic feature of some kind here.
Yeah, that'd be nice right about here.
John Hamilton Bostock, the billionaire man. John Hamilton Bostock, philosopher, philanthropist, raconteur.
Sit down, William. I'd like to talk to you.
Oh, certainly, Mr. Bostock. Well, I suppose you have another party in mind for that billion-dollar check this week.
William, you've been my secretary for a good many years. Tell me, what do you think of me?
Well, I think you're a swell guy, and
forget that I'm your employer, William. Just say what you think.
Well, as I've already indicated, you're a nifty guy to work for, and I also think you're a guy with quite a bit of money.
Everybody knows that, William. I tried keeping it a secret, but it leaked out.
Well, that's television for you.
William, man to man, you've worked for me a long time, delivering billion-dollar checks, and I was wondering, what do you think of money?
Man to man, Mr. Bostock? I mean, am I free to say what I feel?
Well, pretend I'm, one of your friends.
All right, Mr. Bostock. You've taught me that money is misery. And I've learned that people often delude themselves into thinking $1 billion is really something. Yet you and I know how false, how foolish, and Yes, how dangerous thinking like that can be. And in short, Mr. Bostock, you've shown me how incredibly bad $1 billion is.
You've learned your lesson well, William.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Bostock, who's getting the $1 billion check this week?
I'm afraid it's going to be William Baker Bates.
But, sir, that's me.
I'm sorry, William.
Well, I don't understand. Haven't I been a good and faithful secretary all these years? Well, I mean, why me, Mr. Bostock?
William, there's nothing you can do about it. I've already made my decision.
But you just can't do this to me, Mr. Bostock. I think I deserve an explanation.
Must I ring for help, William?
All right, Mr. Bostock, I won't make any trouble. But man to man, what did I do wrong? Where did I fail?
I'll tell you. You're taking a little too long to make your deliveries.
Of the $1 billion check?
That's right. A few months back, I told you to get a map of the city so you could study it and be a little quicker on these errands. However, this is something you didn't do.
But to be summarily dismissed with a $1 billion check.
As I've said, there's nothing you can do about it, William.
Mr. Bostock, can I at least have a letter of recommendation from you?
Come back in a year, William, after you've made a study of the city. By that time, if you know it a bit better, perhaps we can talk about the letter of recommendation again.
Well, Mr. Bostock, you've got to play the big shot, right? You really want to know what I think of you? You're a nut.
Take that check and get out of here.
Guys like you give me a pain.
I knew you'd turn out to be nasty, Otto.
Really, Bostock, you're about as low as anyone.
You are, Mr. Bostock.
Who's that nut?
Otto sees this man and takes his $1 billion check and gets out of here.
All right, don't shove, I'll go. If you haven't had the last of this, Bostock.
Sour grapes.
Maybe.
Maybe, boy. I knew he would turn on him someday. Say, for just a minute now, I'd like to bring to mind a little-known incident in the history of electronic communication. It's said that when Marconi finished inventing radio and turned on that first set, what he heard was Amos and Andy.
Duff.
What?
Where'd you get your facts?
Well, I've got to admit I've raised my eyebrows a little bit on that one, too. But it does serve to point up the fact that Amos and Andy have been around for quite a few years.
And they're still pleasing the people, as our CBS radio neighbors here each weeknight.
The gracious thing to do is invite our listeners to tune them in, too.
Well, I'm glad you thought about that. How's this, friends? Here are the Amos and Andy Music Hall, weeknights on CBS Radio.
Well said.
Well, you can say it next time.
Okay, and right now, do we have time for Clyde Lamona? Speaking of old radio that's been on a long time. Clyde Lamona is one of the first of the great network radio announcers. And Clyde, it's always a pleasure to give a fella a little boost up, a little help on the road back.
Well, thank you for the leg up, Bob. Certainly could use it.
I noticed you're losing your shoelace there.
Yeah.
Well. Clyde, you haven't worked for quite some time.
Well, TV, more or less.
Your voice is just as full and beautiful and rich as ever. But your appearance.
That's right. Well, it's always been my downfall. I've always been...
Is that a gravy stain on the back of your jacket there?
Yeah, that's right.
How do you get it on the back?
I think I got it. I fell over backwards onto the table.
Oh. And your toupee is on backwards?
Yeah. And,
That bow tie you're wearing, it's only hooked on one side.
It's my personal appearance, Bob, that's kept me off TV more.
See, I'll never forget the old days when you'd come out on the stage to introduce a big radio show in that tuxedo that was kind of a trademark of yours. You're still wearing the tux pants there.
That's right, I am.
One of the little strips of satin down the side has come unstitched there.
I hadn't noticed that. I'll have to fix that when I
hang in there. So what kind of a flower was that in your
throat? It was a rose. It's been there for a year and a half. It's all
it's like
wrinkled up.
Dead Japanese beetle there in it.
It is.
And your sleeve is on fire. Did you know that? Clyde Lamona, a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope that
Bob, if you hear of anything with a... could use an announcer.
There's some paper stuck to your shoe there.
Well, that's some gum I picked up.
It's stuck.
A paper on there.
What's that say there?
Communist magazine. I guess that's been on my shoe a long time.
Sometime. Good luck anyway, Clyde Lamona, and we'll be following your career with him.
Okay, bye-bye.
Now it's time to say goodbye. Until tomorrow.
Until then, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
Bye-bye, Clyde.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
And this is KNX AM and FM CBS Radio in Los Angeles. Oh, in Los Angeles.